Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Thursday, March 3rd, 2022. This is the Senate Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committee. Today we have a number of bills that we have put on. I don't know whether we're going to get through all of them. We're going to do the best that we can. I will tell you that just by way of explanation, some of these bills today will be laid over. Some will be sent out for hearings in other committees with jurisdiction. Senate file 3582, you will see down at the bottom, that is the bill that contains all of these provisions. And the idea is that we are spinning off a number of smaller bills that we will be taking up today. All of the bills that are on the sheet or the agenda today are contained within Senate file 3582. And the idea is that these bills will then come back to us, and in effect, we are going to have a mini-omnibus bill on the driver and vehicle services report. We also have with us today Mr. King and his associates who prepared the report for us, and they are here. They testified on Tuesday on the report. They are here available to answer any questions that you may have on the bill. We have until 4:30. I can go over a little bit if need be, but specifically, I would like to get through the first three for sure, the first three bills for sure, and then we're going to see if we can have time for any more after that. So that's sort of the explanation as to what we are doing today. Senator Dibble, anything to add regarding the proceedings for today?
No, thank you. Appreciate it. It's a big agenda of a lot of interesting bills. I think you'll see that our side, our caucus, is pretty interested in some of these ideas that flow out of the King report. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Senator Dibble. With that, we will begin with the first bill. Senator Housley's bill, Senate file 3609. Senator Housley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Before you is Senate file 3609. This is a bill that was also based off the recommendations of the DVS independent expert review. The reason I wanted to carry this bill is this fall, I went to a Gopher hockey game. And at most of the venues these days, you can't bring in a purse, or it has to be clear. But I like to go to these things, and I just bring my driver's license because, of course, my credit card is on the phone. So if I want to get a beer or anything, I have to have my driver's license with me. Well, I ended up losing my driver's license at the Gopher game when I went in to take my phone out. And so then I had to go to DVS, get another driver's license, and this is my third driver's license in 2 years. So I can't be the only one who does this. Yeah, I know you think it's funny. So then that night, we went out to dinner, and my daughter's boyfriend, who's from Colorado, he wanted to order a beer at dinner, and they asked for his ID, and he popped out his phone, and his driver's license was right on his phone. And I was like, get out of town. How'd you do that? He said, oh, we've had it for a couple of years. So that's when I started asking staff, how come we don't have that here? I think it would make things a lot easier. And that was the genesis of the bill, is me losing my driver's license. I mean, we have so many things on our phones right now. We have our plane tickets, we have credit cards, Apple Pay, we have Netflix shows, we have our car insurance, we have our Amazon return QR codes, our sporting events tickets are on our phones, our health insurance, my alarm system's on. I mean, you can just go to your sporting events with just your phone these days. So I think it makes sense that we get up to the this century and look into getting mobile driver's license. So in addition to that, there's actually 30 other states that are looking into this, and I think there's over 10 that have now made mobile driver's license as part of their platform. But also what the bill does, it provides for electronic titles. I don't know if you've ever gone to sell your car and you... Oh, am I on mute?
Mr. Chair?
Well, y'all just missed a really good story. Anyway, this is about electronic driver's license. if you ever go to sell your car and you're scrounging through your old file cabinets looking for that title, that hasn't happened to me either. This would also look into electronic titles. This bill would require DVS to investigate the possibility of moving from physical to digital versions of documentations, including but not limited to the mobile driver's licenses, electronic titles, mobile facial software for ID. We always have to go to the DVS to get our picture taken for the driver's license. You can get your eyeglasses by taking a picture of yourself, so I think we can handle taking a picture of ourselves for our driver's license. Digital tabs, liens, disability, play cards, and crash reports. And then DVS would give a report to the legislature by December 15th, 2022, detailing what other states have done, recommendations on how to ensure the data security and privacy, estimated costs and estimated timeline, and necessary statutory changes. So that, Mr. Chair, in essence, is what this two-page bill does.
Thank you, Senator Housley. Any questions from any members of either Senator Housley or any of Mr. King and his staffs that prepared the report? They're sitting off to my right in the first row. Any questions, members? Senator Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Housley, would this require to shift to the digital or just make it an option?
Senator Housley.
Mr. Chair and Senator Howe, I think that would be something that we would look at after they do the report, if they would recommend having the option to do both. But I can tell you, I think we most would choose the digital. But I know there are some people that don't operate on their phone all the time that would probably still rather have a physical one.
Any other questions from any members? Seeing none. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to express support for this bill and this idea, and thanks, Senator Housley, for bringing it. I think it's for all the reasons that she cited, and we do so much on our phones, half or more of the things that she listed, I do with my phone, too. So I think the time has come to look at this. I think it's a good innovation. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator Dibble.
But, Mr. Chair,
yes,
it is a two-page bill. I only have one page.
Oh, is there not a bet? Oh, no, there's only one.
All right.
It's my notes on the other side. Sorry.
Boiled it down to its essential parts. Economy of verbs. We like that. Thanks.
Yes. and it will be coming back. So, okay. Senator Pratt, would you care to move? This is to be re-referred to the Technology and Reform Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Senate File 3609 pass and be referred to the Committee on Technology and Reform.
All those in favor of Senator Pratt's motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion passes, and the bill is on its way to Technology and Reform.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Dibble, there's room on the bill.
Thank you, Senator Housley. I also just was passed a note that Mr. Zong from DVS is also available for questions. There you are. Nice to see you. He is available for any questions that members may also have. The next bill up before us is Senator Chamberlain's bill, Senate File 3650. Senator Chamberlain, welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
And whenever you are ready, Senator Chamberlain, to your bill 3650.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is a bill to extend the renewal time for Minnesota driver's licenses, motorcycle licenses, and IDs from 4 years to 8 years. Obviously, looking just looking through the report of driver vehicle services. You know, there is strain on the system, and it calls into question, what can we do more efficiently, effectively? What don't we need to do? And one of the things that was brought to my attention is perhaps we don't need to renew our licenses every 4 years. Perhaps we can put it off to 8 years. I know I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but many states are much longer than Minnesota's at 4 years. So something we can change, save a little money, save a little time, reduce pressure, is perhaps move our renewal times for licenses and IDs to 8 years instead of four. So that's the gist of it. No change in cost, just the change in renewal time.
Thank you, Senator Chamberlain. And I have Mr. Hines, a deputy registrar from Rochester, is on the testifiers list. If you want to come forward, Mr. Hines. Thank you for coming in this afternoon. If you would please state your name for the record and then simply proceed with your testimony.
We'll scooch over.
Not too close.
My name is Mike Hintz, H-I-N-T-Z, with the Minnesota Deputy Registrars Association. I am also a deputy registrar private office in Rochester, Minnesota. We, as an association and as private deputy registrars, agree with the idea of an eight-year, we have no objection to the idea of an eight-year driver's license. The concern that we have as an organization, as a private business, is that the filing fee that is used or collected on a four-year driver's license or identification card is not specifically addressed in your bill, but it is something that we need to have in the back of your mind, is that we survive only on those filing fees, and if you're going to double that term, it's kind of important that we consider doubling that filing fee to go along with that. And there is precedence in other legislative and other statutes that show that can happen with some other renewals that have multi-year terms, and the filing fee was commensurate with that. So we agree, we have no disagreement with the eight-year term. I change a lot in 8 years, but I get a new picture yesterday. It worked out well, but I think it's a good idea, and we have no objection, but we just want to make sure that we keep in mind the filing fee. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Hintz. And maybe Senator Jasinski could help us with that question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Hintz, next up we'll have Senate File number 3616, and I will address that issue.
Anything further, Mr. Hintz?
No, that is all. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anybody else in the room that wants to testify for or against Senate File 3650? Members, any questions? Pretty quiet group today. Pretty quiet group. This bill, Senator Chamberlain, is to be laid over. Do you have any final comments?
No, Mr. Chair. Members, thank you.
Short and sweet. Senate File 3650 is laid over.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Senator Chamberlain.
All right.
Next, we're going to pick up Senator Jasinski's bill, 3616. Senator Jasinski, is the first now you have testified live in committee this year?
Mr. Chair, no, it's the second time.
Second time. Live.
First time in transportation, though, so do I have to buy cookies or something?
Okay. My understanding, Senator Jasinski, on Senate File 3616, you have an author's amendment. Is that correct?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'd like to offer the A2 amendment.
Members, this is an author's amendment. Senator Jazinski, I think it's the 8-2 you want to...
3.
8-3 that you want to...
Oh, I'm sorry, correct. Right. I would like to offer the A3 amendment.
Very good. A3 amendment is an author's amendment. All those in favor of Senator Jazinski's motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Senator Jazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And we're long past due in hearing this bill. I'll say that a couple of times. We are long past due on hearing this bill. Our deputy registers, both public and private, have been waiting for a long time to see fee increases. They went through the MNLARS situation with lots of issues with the software. They've had to train their people to transition to the MnDrive, which is now working very well, but a lot of time went into that. As you well know, they cannot set their fees as a small business to set their income and revenues versus expenses. We do that. So again, this is long past due. I apologize to the deputy registers, but Mr. King's report showed lots of things. We did a time motion study to several deputy registers across the state to find out what was being done. As many of us in this room know, when we switched over from MNLARS to MnDrive, a lot of the front end work got shifted from the back office to our deputy registers. Again, this bill is long past due. They have not been able to change the fees, and they've been doing a lot more work. So what this bill does is, as part of the Rick King report, or our independent expert review, that addresses several of the issues in the report. One of the big things, or the first things, is defining what a full service provider is. I'll let Mr. Hill go into the details of this, but that provides what a full service provider is, defines that, goes through some fee increases that, again, I will say are long past due. And it also, one of my most exciting things that I believe is important in this bill, shifts the percentage of online and mail-in revenues to our deputy registers. This is a very, very important thing, and I'm assuming that DVS or DPS will probably come up and testify against this, because anytime an agency has revenue coming in and has to give some of that up, they're going to complain. So expect that, but remember what our deputy registers have gone through over the past, I believe, almost 6 years since I've been in the legislature. We've been talking about this. So I think that's enough intro to the bill. We've been here for several years talking about this, so I'm really, really excited about this bill. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to my first testifier, Todd Hill, to testify on the bill.
Thank you, Senator Jazinski. And before we go to testifiers, you are correct. This is a bill that we have been waiting for now for a couple of years, and specifically waiting for the Driver and Vehicle Services report by Mr. King, Ms. Albus, Ms. Hine, and Ms. Weiss. So this really is, in my mind, a very important step forward following all of those difficulties that we had a few years ago with MNLARS. This is sort of one of the culminations of it. So I am going to ask Ms. Stengel to walk us through the bill so that members have a good understanding of what's in this bill and what it's all about. And then I will go to testifiers. And then I'll remind members that the authors of the report are present. They will be able to answer any questions that you may have. Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first section of the bill creates a new definition of what a full service provider is. And that means a person who's appointed by the commissioner as both a deputy registrar and a driver's license agent under Chapter 171. And I'll note, in a future bill, you'll see some changes to this to exempt some of the IFTA transactions from that definition. It's not in here, but you'll see that fix in a later bill that we can put back together at the end when these all get compiled. Section 2 has to do with filing fees for vehicle transactions, and you'll see that it's now split out between in-person transactions and then mail or online transactions. And for the mail or online transactions that are completed by the department, a portion of those fees will now go into the newly created full service provider account. Section 3 is the same definition as earlier, just in a different chapter of law. Section 4 does the same thing as Section 2, only this time it's for driver's license fees, so half of those will now go into the full-service provider account if they are mail or online transactions. Section 5 is the fee increases that Senator Jasinski has talked about. And then Section 6 is the new full-service provider account that is established and talks about how the fees are deposited there. And the A3 amendment that was adopted replaces the paragraph B that was in the bill. So as amended, what will happen is the commissioner then, for each of the mail or online transaction, the commissioner has to find the closest full-service provider and then provide that amount of money to that provider. So it's sort of staying in the area where that person lives.
Thank you, Ms. Stengel. And Senator Jasinski, are you able to pinpoint the sections in the bill where there is that fee increase and tell us what that increase is without putting you on the spot? Or
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to turn over to Mr. Hill, if he could do that, please.
Sure. Mr. Hill, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Oh, thank you, Chairman Newman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Todd Hill with Hill Capital Strategies, and I represent the Deputy Register Business Owner Association, or more commonly referred to as the Private Deputy Registers. Let me first say it's great to be testifying in person, and I actually heard a great explanation. I think it was during your Bill and Tax Committee yesterday, Senator Newman. I'm not wearing a tie because apparently over the last 2 years, my collars of my shirts shrunk, as did the length of my ties. So I don't know what happened. There's a gremlin in my closet or something. But so the fee increases, per your question, Senator Newman, before I speak more directly to the bill, it would be Section 5, and it's actually the amendment that we just adopted, the A2 amendment, changes that a little bit. So as the bill is now amended, we would be increasing the fee that deputy registers would be charged from $8 to $16 for all new applications for all driver's licenses. And then we would be increasing that fee from $8 to $11 for all renewals. And that would be Section 5. It is the part of the A2 amendment, which was just adopted. Is that okay? As I said, my name is Todd Hill, and I'm here on behalf of the private deputy registers. We have a handful of registers who will also testify today, but I wanted to start by, we've not had an opportunity to really respond to the King report. You guys did hear that earlier this week, but we appreciate all the work that Rick King and his team did, and we are grateful for the fact that this report recognizes what we've been saying for a number of years as we've gone through the MNLARS and the MnDrive system, and that is that a substantial amount of work has been shifted to the deputy registers, and this report recognizes that and recognizes that our front counters are becoming overburdened with a lot of the work that's been required. And I know others are going to testify to that as well. I know the auto dealers and other people in this ecosystem are all feeling that strain. And so we appreciate the fact that Senate File 3616 recognizes the need for a new revenue sharing model if you want the deputy register ecosystem or network to survive. There are a couple of challenges with this bill, and I've had a number of conversations with Mr. King about this, but one is, we have certainly been wishing for some time to have a fee increase on the motor vehicle side. We do think the revenue sharing model addresses that issue. But as part of that revenue sharing model, the bill does also require entities that want access to that to become a full service provider, which means you would provide both motor vehicle services and driver's license services. And there are a few challenges with that, and I hope something that we can continue to talk about. But in some cases, that might not be practical. There are some costs. This bill does consider that. We're going to need some compensation for the investment in the cameras and the eye testing machinery and whatnot to move those entities that are not full service to a full service provider. Some of these operations are in very small, tight locations where we may need to see some build out. So there are going to be some costs to deputies as they make that shift. And the other issue that we do need to be aware of, there have been instances in the past where the department has precluded an entity from becoming a full service provider because there already is a DL operator nearby. And so there may be some issues where an entity wants to become full service, but they won't be able to. And we're gonna need to kind of talk through that as we continue to work through this bill. With that, I'll keep my remarks fairly brief as well. I just want to thank Senator Jasinski, Senator Newman, for all the work that we've been doing on this for, I can't tell you how many years.
Six
years. The last 2 years I testified in shorts and a sport coat from my living room. But I'm happy that we're at this critical point in looking at the deputy register ecosystem. We are at a breaking point right now. If we do not pass this bill and fix this today, we are going to see fewer and fewer deputy registers out in the throughout the communities. And as Senator Jasinski pointed out, I think the most important thing for everyone here to remember is that deputy registers, they're probably the only business that exists in the state of Minnesota where they have no ability to change the revenue they make other than by increasing the number of transactions. And they don't set the fees, you set the fees. They don't, their costs continue to go up. And you know, every session we come here with our hat in our hand, begging to have some kind of a fee increase. We think that this revenue sharing model resolves a lot of those problems. And we just appreciate all the work that everyone's done on this. And with that, I'd stand for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. And Senator Jasinski, before we go any farther, I really would like to get the bill in terms of these fees that we're talking about corrected so that we're current. And it's my understanding that Senator Pratt has an amendment, and I think it's the A2 amendment. I'll have Ms. Stengel explain the amendment, and then we'll go to you, Senator Pratt. Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. It, as Mr. Hill talked about, it changes the fee increases. So instead of an $8 filing fee, it will now be a $16 filing fee for all types of new applications for driver's licenses or ID cards, and $11 for a renewal.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, when we passed the Real ID law back in 2017, the idea was to make sure that the Real ID was not any more expensive or at a higher cost than the non-compliant ID. We didn't want to have any reason from a cost standpoint to have the differentiation between those two, because effectively there's no additional functionality between the licenses, except that you can utilize the Real ID to get onto into a federal facility and use your license to board a plane. But it doesn't provide anything like the enhanced ID does as far as border crossing or anything like that. So this change brings us back to the original intent of the Real ID bill to say that the Real ID and the non-compliant license are the same price.
Thank you, Senator Pratt. Do you have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the A2 amendment.
Senator Jasinski, any comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, in 2017, when Senator Pratt was very involved with the Real ID, I was a young freshman senator and didn't have the whole grasp on it, but I understand what his intent is and would consider this a friendly amendment.
Thank you, Senator Jasinski. Members, any questions? Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I support the amendments. I just thought I'd also point out that I was just trying to compare the language in the bill as proposed with the A2, and I also noticed that it's inclusive of identification cards, not just driver's licenses. Actually, I'm asking if I'm right about that. I'm not saying I'm right about that. If council can confirm and affirm that I'm making the correct observation.
Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble. Yes, you are correct that the ID cards are now pulled in under the amendment. It was an unintentional omission in the bill drafting. I think they should have been there because it was a filing fee. Oh. So correcting that.
Great. Thank you.
Senator Dibble, nice catch. We will fix it on the other end. Members, any other questions on the A2? Any comments? Seeing none. All those in favor of adoption of the A2 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Okay, Senator Jasinski. Mr. Hill?
Yeah, Senator Newman, first, let me apologize. I thought we'd adopted the A2, so I apologize for giving the committee the wrong information on the fee increase. But
So did I. And staff corrected me.
And
Mr. Hill.
I also wanted, there was one other point I wanted to make, and it Your bill has more of the details on how the account would be set up and the revenue sharing in the account. This bill also establishes that for the full-service deputy registers. There's one thing I failed to mention, and one concern that we do have. We brought this up with staff earlier today. The state of Minnesota, DVS, also operates as a deputy registrar. And we would want to make sure that the state of Minnesota operating as a deputy registrar would not have access to the money that is being set aside for the other deputy registrars. The way that the bill contemplates dividing up that money now, it's based on transactions. Obviously, the state would conducts way more transactions than we do, but that is one thing that we would like to see clarified as the bill moves forward, okay, which we did on the kiosk bill as well.
Thank you. Next testifier up is Mr. Hintz. Again, if you want to come to the testifying table.
I'll come back up.
Mr. Hintz, if you would identify yourself for the record, and please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Mike Hintz, Minnesota Deputy Registrars Association. Just a few things that to echo a lot of what Mr. Hill said. My first question that I had was about the filing fee or the fee increases. Was that considered the fee increase for a four-year identification or an eight-year identification? We have said over the past several years that we needed the fee increase because of the amount of work that we're doing to do these other identifications, and that those numbers properly, I think, address that amount of work that we're doing. But then if we're going to consider doubling to 8 years, then those numbers might need to be adjusted to reflect that double term on those.
Senator Jasinski, or do you want me to go to Senate Council?
Mr. Chair, you can go to Senate Council.
Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is for a filing fee for each application. So without the eight-year change, it would be a four-year license. If the other bill were adopted at the same time as this one, it would be these fees for an eight-year. So it's just per application, not tied to the number of years. So I think what you're saying is if the eight-year bill were adopted, you'd like these numbers to be doubled.
Mr. Hintz.
That's correct. Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Hintz?
This is my first time doing this. I apologize.
It's okay.
Again, we talked about the full-service deputy registrar offices. The costs involved for some of that would be substantial. Right now, currently, if an office wants to go from a limited office to a full-service office, they're purchasing their cameras and their vision equipment on their own. I think that was somewhat addressed that would be appropriated to help pay for that. But there are build-out costs, training costs, security changes that have to be made within the office, things like that. So there are other costs that may need to be either addressed in some sort of a grant or some sort of program to help especially the small offices. If you're talking a $12,000 to $20,000 build-out for driver's license in an office that does 100 driver's licenses a year, your return on investment is years down the road, so it's very difficult for some of those smaller offices to justify that, make it hard to do. The question on the A3 amendment about the appropriation of the money, the question was, when would that actually start? Would we have to wait a year and then the appropriation starts out being paid out quarterly, or would there be some sort of appropriation right out of the gate to, because now we'd be sitting there at a year spending money going backwards, waiting for that appropriation amount to be figured out. So that was a question that I had.
Thank you, Mr. Hintz. Mr. Zong, do you have any thoughts on that question? Welcome to the committee. If you would identify yourself for the record and see if we can answer that question for folks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Pong Zhang, Director of the Driver Vehicle Services Division. To that question, Our understanding or our reading of the language would be that the transactions would need to occur, and then the monies would go into that appropriation, and then following quarters could be distributed. Assuming we can get the systems in place, we could see those transactions for that prior quarter and that next quarter, whenever we establish the starting point for collecting or shifting some of the fees to that separate appropriation.
Mr. Hintz, does that answer your question?
Mr. Chair, yes, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shung. Any more questions or any further testimony, Mr. Hintz?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One more question was says page 5, lines 27 through 34, allowing offices a DL camera from DVS. It currently addresses grandfathered offices back to year 2000. So that's kind of talking about the expense of getting a camera, if we're going to have to pay that cost or if the state is going to provide that. That'll have to be written into something.
In the line number on page 5?
27 through 34, but I don't have the most recent. Yes, 27 through 34 is where it talks about the cameras. Okay.
And your question, Mr. Hintz, is whether the registrars pay for the photo identification equipment or whether the state pays for it. Is that correct?
But do they provide?
Who provides?
Must provide and maintain photo identification. Mr. Chairman, thank you. Senator Jasinski has shown me that says must. Thank you.
Mr. John, could you come back to the table, please? Thank you. The question that is now being discussed is the photo identification equipment, the camera. And could you share with what your views would be regarding helping out the deputy registrars with these cameras?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there certainly is a cost to establishing the cameras. We work with a certain type of camera, and it has to work with the credential provider. Currently in statute, we have sites that are grandfathered before a certain date, and I can circle back with that language. But any of those sites that were grandfathered, we have the authority to maintain and support those pieces of equipment. For any new sites, we would need some authorization to support that.
And by authorization, are you talking about legislative action?
Mr. Chair, correct.
And if the legislature made that authorization, is the department then prepared to purchase and maintain that equipment?
Mr. Chair, DVS would need to fund the equipment out of our operating account, and so it would need to balance that somehow. Without having done the analysis, I think it would be fair to say that some additional appropriation to our operating account to support this would be appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Shung. Mr. Hines, any comments, questions?
Mr. Chair, thank you. No, I understand that Mr. Shung has to research that. That's a pretty substantial number when you do the math. The other piece of that we would like to make sure is mentioned is the second part of driver's license is the vision tester. Again, that's a piece of equipment that's required to do your close-up vision and your peripheral light check. Again, a cost would have to be involved that the DVS would have to pay for. We would like to see DVS pay for if that's forced into full service offices.
Mr. Zhang, your comments on that question or thought?
Mr. Chair, yeah, similar thoughts that we definitely, if authorized, we could support and would ask for some appropriation to fund those purchases.
Okay, thank you. Anything further, Mr. Hintz?
No, Mr. Chair, thank you.
Very good. The next testifier that I have up is Christy Bocage.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record, and then please proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Newman, and thank you, Senator Jasinski. My name is Christy Bocage, and I am Deputy Registrar in South St. Paul and Deputy 35. I am also the President of the Deputy Registrar's Business Owners Association. So I'm basically just coming up for advocation of support of the bills that are being presented. We have lots of testifiers that have already explained a lot of the things that we might have questions on, or maybe some clarification that was needed. We wanted to also say thank you to Mr. King and his team in appreciation of all the work that they pointed out. Some of the things, as has been stated before, we've been asking for support for many years. We also wanted to ensure that we just helped understand some of the things that others have already stated when it comes to what we're required, or what will be, kind of to be frank, what will be left with the work that's happening at the Deputy Registrar. Most of the easy transactions that has been presented, those will go online in a format that is most appropriate for the citizens of Minnesota, and we all want that. And what would be left then is what comes into the offices, and what you need help with are those really difficult transactions. And if that is the case, the personnel and the staffing that we hire and try to retain, it's at a higher level than it ever has been. So ever since 2017, with the movement of what is being required with those face-to-face transactions, but also since then, we have to have somebody who is able to handle what is left, not just the easy transactions. Renewals would come in, take you a couple of minutes, and out the door you go. You were able to then basically use the funds that were used for that to support those longer transactions. And no longer those easy transactions will be in your house anymore. Therefore, what you have left is all longer transactions. So I just wanted to make sure people understood why we continue to ask for support, because we do hire and retain and maintain a staff that is able to handle that. So I just, to point it out, you know, you're looking at somebody who is a higher level, higher qualified individual than maybe even 5 years ago. Again, I just wanted to ensure that people understood how much we're supporting everything. We really appreciate your support, and we're advocating for that. And that is all I have. I would stand for any questions if you have.
You've described that the easy transactions will probably go online or with the kiosk or something, and you're going to be dealing with the more difficult questions, more customer service type questions. Have you reviewed the proposed fee increases, and do you feel they meet your needs?
The fee structure that it's looking at is kind of a split between some things that will help with some of the longer transactions for driver's license. And again, I think it was just addressed with, as long as that is, if it's for 4 years, and I think you just reiterated that if it moves to an 8-year scenario, then you would need to look at a doubling of that fee in order for it to make sense, because otherwise effectively you're losing any type of fee increase, because those are the long transactions like the real ID. When it comes to motor vehicle, that has become a lot more laborious when it comes to anything from MNLARS. So 2017 on, it's just the input of the work. It's taking a lot longer. And also, like I said, if you then were able to filter in some of those easy transactions in between, you were like, well, I'm supplementing how long some of these transactions are taking with these easy ones. Therefore, I'm making the money, because we're based off of as many as we can do. And similar to what I think Todd had mentioned earlier is that, we are only paid on if we can do as many transactions as we can. So if all the easier ones go out online or go to a kiosk, and every transaction that we have is a 25, 30, sometimes even a 45-minute transaction, that $11 that we're getting right now starts to shrink very much so. So I think when it looks at the fee-sharing scenario, that would allow us to then be able to try to hire and maintain staff in order to be able to handle what would take longer periods of time.
Mr. King, do you, Ms. Albus, Ms. Hines, or Ms. Weist have any thoughts or comments that you'd like to share with us regarding what Ms. Bocage has had to say? Well, I'll have somebody get you a chair. Here, there's a chair coming.
All right, there we go.
I can move. Yeah. Okay, all right.
Mr. King.
Thank you for the chair, Mr. Chair. But it's not so easy.
Right.
I think I would simply say that there's really no disagreement at large with what has been testified to here relative to the deputy registrars. I might make a couple of points. You know, just for a frame of reference for everybody, the cameras are about $7,900 right now, and the iMachines are about $1,900. So you're looking about a little bit under $10,000 for the people that don't already have them and need them and so forth. And we would be supportive of what Director Pong has asked for in that regard. It makes sense not to have the first instance of them unnecessarily charged to the deputy registrars. I think in terms of the office facilities, I guess I have a little bit smaller business thought in my head. I would take a line, and I would make the line do both kinds of transactions, vehicle and drivers. I'd hang up a piece of blue background wall with some tape across the back of a wall, and that's where the photos would be. So I would simplify that whole thing, not have to do a tremendous amount of build-out. I think the build-out is sort of non-existent, and I think to the extent that they have a limited number of people coming in, then that's just fine. You have the training and the certification, of course, that is some cost, and the security, of course, that's some cost. But the person at the counter could handle both transactions. When somebody comes in, they've got one, they've got the other. So I don't think the physical build out is as big an issue. Our issue was trying to make sure that we've got with a reduction in the number of exam stations that we propose, that we've got through the state a really good number of deputy registrars that are doing full service, which includes the driver's license, which tends to be the most complicated, as was stated here by each of the colleagues. And I think the online fee sharing part is really geared toward helping out around the vehicle registration piece, rather than increasing the fee writ large, taking a percent of those fees that are done online and giving them back to the deputy registrars, because they are asked questions about duplicates. Where is my item? It's lost in the mail. Should I get a 2-year? Should I get a 1-year? Should I get an 18-month? Whatever the question is, ends up being really a local question, whether by phone, by email, or with an in-person visit. So when you give them that shared online fee or in the mail fee, that's meant to help them there. And incidentally, since we're already collecting that fee and it goes into the special revenue fund, that's not an increase to the customer, the consumer, the citizen, which is nice. The driver's license part will impact the citizens. As to the question about the multi-year license, obviously we suggested that 14 different states use 8 years, just incidentally. 7 states use 6 years, 8 states use 5, and there's 6 that use 4 out of the survey that we got information back. So 4 tends to be the lower of those numbers out there. So we think it's a good idea to look at a lengthening of that. We did not speak directly to the idea of the fee. Quite often when you, not the filing fee we're talking about here, I think that's a good debate to be had. Whether it should be doubled or whether it should be increased some amount, I don't think one time, maybe when you go from 4 years to 8, to leave it the same is the right thing. I'm not sure 2 times the fee is the right either, but there's a lot of room between the two to say that servicing that customer in between the 8 years, is they're still going to come back to the deputy registrar. So in our heads, we discussed at one point whether we should make a recommendation about that, which we did not, but we were thinking in the range of 1.5 times to 1.75 times, just as a ballpark for your information. So we do support the idea that there should be more there. Mr. Chair, that's kind of covering what a lot of the testifiers covered. I think Ms. Wise may want to add one particular piece, if you'll permit that.
Thank you, Mr. King. Ms. Wise, welcome back to the committee.
Thank you.
You can sneak right into that microphone.
All right.
Mr. King will move a little bit for you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would also like to just, I think, reiterate sort of our collective support for Senator Jasinski's bill. The area where I thought maybe I could offer just a little bit of additional color commentary is around what our original proposal was with respect to the filing fees. So the original view was around an $8 increase from $8 to $16. We had focused on new real IDs and new enhanced driver's licenses purely from a filing fee perspective because of the complexity of the work and the transaction. Again, no objection to anything as proposed, but just as context, the $8 increase for those was particularly focused around that additional effort and work. And then similarly, the $3 renewal for, or the $3 increase from $8 to $11 for the renewal was similarly around the work in that category. And that appeared to be the area looking at numbers across all of the deputy registrars, as well as time and motion studies previously completed. Those seem to be the areas where there was kind of that additional chunk of work.
Thank you, Ms. Wise. Before they leave the testifying table, members have any questions for Ms. Okage, Mr. King, or Ms. Wise? Seeing none, thank you very much. Hang around, there might be more. Thank you, Ms. Okage. Next testifier I have is Kelly Davison. Kelly Davison has either not here or isn't coming up to testify. I'm not sure which. And then Mr. Jean. Welcome back to the testifying table. Mr. Jean, just for the record, state your name and then please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Pong Zhang, Director of the Driver and Vehicle Services Division. So first, I want to thank Senator Jasinski and other authors of bills related that came from the Independent Expert Review Report. We're very supportive in the work that Mr. King and his team has done. And also, I want to extend my my gratitude to Mr. King and his team for the work done on the Independent Expert Review. So on to Senate File 3616, DVS does not have any concerns with the fee increases. We believe that deputy registrars should be compensated fairly for the work that they perform. DVS does have concerns around the fee sharing provisions. The online transactions and mail end transactions are performed exclusively by state employees through state processes. Additionally, the sharing of fees related to online and mail-in transactions will have an impact to the overall health of the vehicle services operating account, the driver services operating account, as well as the technology account. We'll be putting together some estimates in our fiscal note to get you the exact numbers, but we are estimating multi-million dollar amounts based off of current online transactions and mailed-in transactions, and we have certainly seen an increase in those types of transactions and customers. We definitely want to meet customers where they want to interact with DVS and the services that we provide. And lastly, I want to address a concern around the amendment around the address and tracking of addresses. Not specifically the methodology, but the tools in which we're able to do this will be new for MnDrive. In our discussions with our technology team and our vendor, Fast, this will require some sort of a tool that can calculate the distances between locations. We also think that it's necessary to define which address we're going to be using in the language, but DVS wanted to offer those concerns for the language. And lastly, I just want to make the commitment that we are, DVS is prepared to continue to engage and support in the development of the of this bill, and I will stand for questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Zahn. Mr. King, would you or any member of your team care to come forward? I'd like to visit with you a little bit about what Mr. Zhang has just testified to. Thank you, Mr. King. Keeping in mind that these bills, including this bill, what we really are trying to do is take recommendations, some of them are fairly general, out of the report that has been prepared. And as you know, one of my ongoing concerns has always been the payment for MnDrive, the request for fee increases by deputy registrars, and anticipated request for increased appropriations from DVS. That's always been my concern. I'd like to hear your thoughts on the fee-sharing provision that is in this bill that we have derived from your report. And I'd also ask if you could please address the tracking of addresses within MnDrive. I'm not even sure I understand that that portion, if you could maybe talk about that. But those two questions, Mr. King.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll do the best I can with those. The fee sharing, we think that's pretty important. And while we discussed the parameters of the fee sharing, we also had concern for the two accounts. In this case, it would be the vehicle account, so the vehicle services operating account. We definitely are concerned about that. That's one of the major reasons we put in the recommendation sharing 25 to 50% of the fee, because we needed to make sure that what was coming into that account, which is every single online and mail transaction, that those are the transactions not done by the deputy registrars, it goes into that fund. It never gets appropriated to anybody directly for that service, because it's done by Mr. Zhang's employees, and true enough, as you said. We believe there's enough money in the account to fund somewhere in that 25 to 50% sharing range, and that since the fee is coming from that customer for the filing fee, it's an appropriate use of that actual money. We would, if for some reason the 25% made us drop below the reserve levels in the account, we would say drop the 25% to a lower number. We don't want to cause harm to the to that operating account, but we think that within a number that's between 25 and 50, there's a place there that you can go. And that fee sharing is important because this goes back to the deputy registrars for the work that they do to support people in transactions that aren't just one and done. They have follow-ups, they have questions, and so forth, as I said earlier. But we also proposed an element of fee sharing to defray some of the costs at DVS too, through the same mechanism. So that mechanism would help them by transaction, on a transaction basis, fund the ever-increasing number of online and mail renewals, so that they don't have to appeal for deficit funding because of an overrun in the postage area, through no fault of anybody except keeping the lights on and being able to process people. That budgeted normal appropriation that they would get was overrun, and you heard that, I think, earlier a couple of weeks ago in terms of the deficit funding. So what we tried to do with our fee sharing is help the department with that element, which is a lot of postage and handling and service by a transaction based level, and help the deputy registrars with a sharing of that fee that's already collected. So, Mr. Chair, that would be the answer to question number one. Question number two about the tracking of addresses. Now, I think this comes into play when you decide how you would allocate the fees that are kept for the deputy registrars. So one of the earlier versions of this bill called for a proportional amount of the transactions based on what's done in each deputy registrar office to then be sent to those deputy registrars pro rata, basically. So at that point, you don't need to know the addresses of the people who actually had the service performed for them and actually funded the fees. What that is sometimes maybe a precision level here with a transaction basis proportionally, not exactly what everybody would think would be maybe the best. The alternative is to then divide it up from the geography that it came from. So think of that if a certain region of the state, a person made the online or the mail request for tabs or plates or whatever it is, you would determine where they were, and you would then be giving the fees to that local registrar. And we talked about at one point with different groups about using ZIP plus four as an example of how to figure out where you'd bring that fee back to. The difficulties that were discussed previously here are all around figuring out how do you relate the payer of that fee to the deputy registrar that gets that fee. I actually thought it was pretty brilliant that your council wrote the proportional distribution would solve that whole thing. We didn't have to know their addresses. I don't know how, whether that's more precise or less precise at the end of the day, but I could see people arguing about, well, that's my zip code, that's my plus four, that's wrong. And so I got to the point where I really enjoyed the way the council wrote the document. It can be done in a variety of different ways, but I think that is illustrating Mr. Zong's concern, because how do you determine that? You'd probably start with a postal service plus four, and then you'd have to make some decisions off of that, and that would have to be incorporated into the FAST software.
Thank you, Mr. King, and I agree. Our council is brilliant. I absolutely agree. Before Mr. King or Mr. Zhang leave the testifying table, any questions for them from any members? Senator Dibble.
Thank you. Not necessarily a question. Just wanted to put a pin in some of the points made by Mr. King and some of the questions you had as well. You know, I appreciate the ideas that have been put forth by Senator Dzinski and the deputy registrars and the like. But I think we need, you know, I'm glad we're holding these bills over for more thought and more ideas and more deliberation, because I'm not sure we've gotten quite there. I haven't been fully persuaded on the amounts of, if any, revenue sharing. I think the point that the agency raises that the DRs don't even touch these transactions, you know, so what is the proper amount to be shared, you know, from that revenue? I just think about at some point in the future when we're going to be getting to a de minimis number of in-person transactions that occur, will we still be then, you know, having the deputy registrars enjoy 70% of online and mail-in transactions? I think that would, you know, think about the public and how they would respond to that. I mean, we're going to move there at some point. And then just, you know, kind of the mechanism of pinpointing, assuming for the sake of discussion that we all agree that this is a good idea, you know, pinpointing how we make that allocation on an office-to-office basis. I'm not sure that the methodology is quite there yet. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Dibble. And, you know, you've outlined exactly why we are having these conversations and why the bills are going to be held over. And we will be having further discussions on it, because you're right, we're not quite there yet, but we're working on it. And we now have something you know, a tool that we can use to try and arrive at the right decision, because it really is important to these folks that we arrive at the right decision. Senator Kent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to, I did not, we were running out of time when Mr. King and his wonderful team presented the other day. So I'm going to use this opportunity to express my very deep appreciation for the very good work that you guys have done with this report, which we're seeing come into action here. I really agree. I think we're starting some very important conversations about how we balance things out. You know, even before MNLARS, we recognized that the legacy system had created opportunities for weight efficiencies that went away once we started moving into these newer systems. And we knew, I mean, this is not news. We knew that it was going to create more front-end work. And I'm so glad that we're finally aligning the actual work and the costs associated with that and writing some of those imbalances that have been created with this new technology and these new systems and also the new requirements of things like Real ID. So, you know, I think that becomes a really good measuring stick to, you know, to as we have these conversations, to make sure that we are staying fairly consistent with that as our approach, so that the resources, the human work that it takes to do a part of this whole project is what is compensated. And when we run into these questions of sharing and making sure that it all balances out, you know, I think that's a good guideline to continue following.
Thank you, Senator Kent. I do not see any further questions from members. One final comment, Mr. Zhang. Just a request on my part, the sooner you get to us your requested appropriation, the better. We would really appreciate it, because obviously we have some balancing and weighing and further discussions that will be coming in the near future. We've got a little bit of time because bills are spinning off, going to other committees. They're going to be coming back. But the sooner you could get that to us, the more I would appreciate it very much. Mr. Zhang, thank you very much for coming in. Mr. King, I do not have any further testifiers. Anyone else in the audience that wishes to testify for or against this bill? And I am not seeing anyone. Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate all the conversation today. Again, want to thank Mr. King, DPS, DVS. Something that I had written down on my sheet, and Senator Kent actually just said it all balances out. We need to balance out these transactions so that it makes fair to everybody. Again, also going back to a couple years back, I remember former Director Corey saying about how valuable these deputy registers are to the system and what they do for our communities to get that done. And again, I'll once again say this is long past due, and I really hope that we can get this across the finish line this year. We've been, I don't say promising, but we've been talking about these fee increases for several years to these deputy registers, both public and private. So our cities and our counties, as well as private businesses, we've been affecting with these fee increases. So I think it's time. I'd like to get it done. Again, want to thank everybody involved. And look forward to more discussion to get this bill across the finish line. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Jasinski, and we are going to do our best. We really are. With that, Senate File 3616, as amended, is laid over. Next bill on our agenda is Senator Eichhorn. There you are. I didn't even see you over there. Senator Eichhorn's bill, 3667. Senator Eichhorn, welcome to the committee. Whenever you're ready to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to present to your committee today. I have Senate File 3667, and I'd like to thank my co-sponsors, Senator Curran, Lang, and Dibble. There is one extra spot on the bill if anybody's interested in getting on the bill as well. What this will do is direct the DNR and the Commissioner of Public Safety to work with the deputy registers to try to see if there's an opportunity to move boat, ATV, and snowmobile registration from the current system that the DNR has to the MnDrive system. We believe that this would allow the deputy registers to use one system rather than toggling between separate systems and would create a better operation and better customer service. The bill would require that they report back to the legislature by December 15th, 2022, detailing the estimated costs, the estimated timeline, and necessary statutory changes. And this was recommendation number 17 from the independent expert review. And that is all I have on this bill. It's a pretty short, simple bill, Mr. Chair.
Forgot my mic. Ms. Covey, for testimony on this bill, and I am not. Oh, it really doesn't look like her, but we'll take you, Mr. Meyer.
I apologize, Mr. Chair.
please state your name for the record and with whom you are affiliated, and please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources, and it's a pleasure to be here today. Jenna Covey is our Chief Technical Information Officer. She was going to be online. She must have had something else come up, so I don't know if she's there or not, but I can briefly testify to the bill. We have been working with MnDrive and DPS in these conversations to date. We're currently in the process of updating our electronic licensing system, which includes our hunting and fishing license system, our motorized recreational vehicle license system, and also our firearm education and safety education training system. This is a critical part of it, and we're looking at the recommendations right now and working with DPS. We've had several meetings on it to see how it will integrate. We do have several concerns, though, about the language in the bill. First off, by December 15th of 2022, that's pretty quickly, and the bill wouldn't go into effect till August of 2022, so that leaves us, you know, 5 months to do the report. We are having these conversations ongoing. It's critical to make sure that our system integrates with everything that's out there. I'm hopeful that we can use the MnDrive process to record and transfer these titles, that they can scan them and send us the information we need. This is a critical efficiency piece that's out there, and working to ensure that we have one system I think would be beneficial. The other thing that's out there is just making sure it fits in with our timelines of an RFP. We're hoping to release that RFP for the entire system this spring, and that will take several months to reply. We're hoping to select a vendor by the end of the calendar year, and it'll take several years to build that system that are integrated to update it to Minnesota's customization. We're moving to a mobile system with our hunting and fishing licenses is critical. We hear that from our customers all the time. And integrating some efficiencies in our motorized vehicle registration and transfer system is going to be a huge part of that. So we support the concept. The timelines are somewhat of a concern, and then the funding piece, I know we can deal with that, what it would cost later on. But coming out of the pandemic and with the hiring freeze that was there, we're still trying to build up our staff that retired during the pandemic, and staffing could be an issue just to meet the timelines there. So we look forward to having those conversations in the future. But again, we do support the concept. We are closely working with the recommendations in the report to make sure that whatever we have in our next generation is the best in the country. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer. Mr. King, did you have some comments on this bill? Mr. King.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. E.C. Meyer's testimony, I thought, was very good, and it's good. We found that in conversations with DNR, in fact, I had a conversation today with the commissioner about this very topic, and we have another breakfast meeting next week. So I think DNR understands that this is something that needs to be looked at and will be looking at it quite seriously. So I we, as the IER, the independent review, wanted that to happen. We've oftentimes found that opportunities get missed like this, and we go on to building something that's another system, and part of which we might not need. So whether that's true or not goes to the end of what their RFP process is, what their business requirements are, and things like that, which we appreciate. The one thing that I'll add, the A1 amendment changes the tone quite a bit. It says the word must, and I think that's a very difficult word in there. The original language called for a report on it, and I think maybe the report is a very light dust, and the must word is maybe a very heavy word. What I would suggest to the committee is that language there that could be somewhere in the middle, that there should be an extensive review and look and determination.
Mr. King, I'm going to gently just let Ms. Stengel visit with you for a second.
Oh, excuse me. Am I speaking to the wrong committee about the A1?
Perhaps.
Excuse
it will
me.
Not be offered in this committee.
Well, we'll save the tape for some. I apologize. I apologize, Mr. Chair.
That's just fine.
So let me rewind to say that the report is a good thing, but I think for a report, that report will take a lot of time. I'd like to see, as part of the RFP that they're doing, that they are encouraged to include the review of MnDrive in that report, and that they in that RFP, and then they make a determination and maybe a special note to this committee about what they actually found when they go through their RFP process. I think that's a way to keep them tracking on their schedule, and I think that's a way that they probably be amenable. Sorry about the A1 diversion.
Thank you, Mr. King. Senator Ikarn, any comments regarding the issue that the DNR has brought up regarding the timing and the timeline?
I think what we have in the bill is fine. I did talk with Mr. Meyer earlier today and the commissioner. We also did talk about the A1, and I did agree not to offer that today, but to continue the conversation on that and the underlying bill, just to make sure that discussion continues so we end up in a good spot, so we do make sure that they are having those conversations, so we don't end up in another MNLAR situation where we're spending a bunch of money and end up with something we don't need. So I think this is good policy, and I appreciate the work that the independent committee did, and I think this is a good recommendation, and happy to move forward with it.
Sounds like you clued everybody in except Mr. King.
We didn't talk to Mr. King yet today.
Members, any questions for Senator Ikarn or Mr. King? Senator Dibbles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Ikarn. I'm glad to be on this bill. I just wanted to kind of express the similar sentiment to Mr. King. Well, on the one hand, it's probably likely that this is a good idea and this is the direction which DNR should go. MnDrive is working well, and we're really happy about it. And it just would make sense that, boats and snowmobiles and ATVs would enjoy the same benefits of the kinds of efficiencies and ease of use, et cetera. That being said, kind of pushing them and prodding them along is the right thing to do. Sounds like the A1 is going to show up, or some variation on the A1 is going to show up at a future point in time. And so to find that right calibration to, because Lord knows, my first bill this morning, I'm, not beyond pushing agencies when they need to be pushed, when they're resistant to change. But on the other hand, allowing for the thoughtful deliberation so that, we're not violating standard procurement policies and procedures, so that we are finding that we're doing the right thing with the best value for our shared constituents. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. Members, any other comments or questions on Senator Ikorn's bill? Senator Howe.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Ikarn, I think this is a good suggestion and a good bill. And I don't know if Mr. King would like to respond to this, but we talked earlier, but I think we've missed something when we talk about the DNR piece and when we track our boats, because we track the trailer, we track the boat, but we don't track the most expensive piece on that apparatus, which is the motor. Now, when we talk about our motorcycles, when you register your motorcycle, you got to have the serial number of the motor, of the engine, on that registration card. But we don't do that with our boat motors. And I think it behooves us to do this. And the reason it was brought to me by the chief of police, who had a marine dealer who was exchanging and selling motors on boats that were stored at his facility. And the only way they really caught up with it is those motors ended up in Iowa, some of them, and Iowa tracks theirs. And that's how they caught up with this. So I think it would behoove us to track the most expensive piece of those marine vehicles, which is the motor. And all it takes is an additional line or two, because some places have more than one motor, of course. But we should probably track those very expensive pieces of apparatus. And I don't know if you looked into that when you looked at other states, but to see how that could be done.
Mr. King, any thoughts on that? It actually sounds like a pretty good idea to me. Would it be difficult to include the information regarding the motor in this registration system?
Mr. Chair and Senator Howe, we did not look at this at all. So I would get myself into literally deep water without one of those engines by making a comment about it. It seems logical to think about. I agree. I just don't have any insight about it. But I now have another breakfast topic for next week.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. King. Thank you very much. Senator Eichhorn.
Mr. Chair, I will say that Senator Howe also mentioned that idea, that concept to me, and I agree with you, Mr. Chair, that it is a good idea to look into. And as we look to develop an amendment for the next committee stop, I hope to have a conversation with Mr. Meyer about that as well, to see how we might be able to integrate that, because I agree that is a good idea and something we should be doing.
Good. Very good. Any other members? Oh, Senator Kent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just real quickly to chime in on that one, and this also seems like it would be a good time to entertain that conversation as we're looking to make these changes, to factor that into that process. It makes sense. I want to go back to, again, the good work done by Mr. King and his team. And one of the things that was so compelling to me throughout the report was the customer focus, that ultimately the work we are doing here is to serve the people of Minnesota. And so, you know, as long as we maintain that lens as we consider this aspect of it, that's like, to me, should be the guiding focus, with the other caveat that the mission of driver and vehicle services is not exactly the same as the mission of the DNR, although there obviously are a lot of overlaps. But, you know, I think as long as we just remember, and that's why, I think this makes sort of intuitive sense, if people are registering vehicles of any type, for Minnesotans to have a consistent experience and expectation, that seems to make a lot of sense. But I appreciate, you know, giving everybody the time to think this through and make sure we make solid decisions. So it seems like a good idea to proceed.
Thank you, Senator Kent. I do not see any other hands up regarding comments from senators. And this bill has to go to finance. I wonder, Senator Coleman, do you have a motion where you could ask that this matter be re-referred to the Environment and Finance Committee?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that Senate File 3667 pass and be re-referred to the Environment Finance Committee.
Thank you, Senator Coleman. All those in favor of Senator Coleman's motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion passes. Senator Eichhorn, you are on your way to the Environment Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, we have one more bill I'm going to try and get through today. It's 4:30, but I think this is going to be a fairly quick bill. If this would be Senator Coleman's bill, Senate File 3670.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can be brief. Now it's up to all of you how brief we get out of here.
And before you, you've got an A2 amendment. Am I correct on that?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
And is that an author's amendment?
Yes, sir.
Senator Coleman, see, it's the A1 amendment. It looks like it's a delete all author's amendment.
A1, yes, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. All those in favor of Senator Coleman's motion to adopt the A1 delete all author's amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Well, one moment. Oh. We're gonna just take a slight pause here. I'm not sure we're on the right amendment. My apologies, Senator Coleman. I think we've got it straightened out. It's the A2 amendment that is your delete all author's amendment. Senator Dibble, thank you for stopping the vote. I appreciate that. All those in favor of Senator Coleman's motion to adopt the A2 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, no. The A2 amendment is adopted. Senator Coleman, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this is a very straightforward bill. It is based off recommendation 8 in the independent expert review. The bill simply requires DVS to track and report on the pass-fail rate and the amount of attempts for the written and road tests based off each driver training school. DVS must then publicly post the info on their website and update it at least twice a year.
There are no testifiers signed up on this bill. Members, any questions? I am not seeing any. And members, this bill will be laid over. Senator Coleman, any final thoughts?
No, Mr. Chair.
That is a succinct summation. Senate file 3670 as amended is laid over. And that is as far as we are going to go on today's agenda. We will pick up the balance of the bills next week complete the work on the driver and vehicle services report insofar as these individual bills are concerned. Mr. King, Ms. Albus, Ms. Hines, Ms. White, thank you again for coming in today. I suspect that there are other places that you might rather be, but having you here is very, very helpful. So we really do appreciate it. With that, we are adjourned.